Well, as Bob mentioned, we are going to start a new sermon series on Sunday evenings, and we're going to be going through the book of Proverbs. So you might want to turn over there now. We're going to start in chapter 1 in the book of Proverbs. What we're going to do is kind of have a background lesson today on the Proverbs, and then for 4 weeks, we're going to take a thematic approach to the book of Proverbs. If you've ever read through the book of Proverbs or perhaps studied them in depth, it seems as if there's not a whole lot of flow to the book. And many scholars have pointed that out. There's a few chapters here, a few chapters there, where it does seem like there's some sort of cohesiveness, but in general, it seems that there's not necessarily a flow. So what we're going to do in this lesson series is look at some of the major themes in the Proverbs. And so prepare to jump around in the 31 chapters of Proverbs as we move through this time of study. Next week, we're going to talk about the sort of the difference between wisdom and foolishness in the book. Then we're going to talk about the many proverbs that we find in this book about handling wealth and possessions and taking care of the poor as part of that as well. Then we're going to talk about using our speech in a wise manner. And then we're going to talk about displaying wisdom in the context of the family. So that's sort of where we're going throughout this lesson series. A guiding question for tonight is very simple, and that is, why study this book? Right? Why study it? I was reflecting on some of the people that have had an impact on me just in the last couple days. And as I was going through these different folks from my growing up days, my college days, my post-college days, one of the things that I started to see was a theme of these people demonstrating wisdom in their life. Wisdom is one of those concepts or ideas that can be a little bit difficult to define. But when you see it, or when you hear it, maybe more appropriately, you know it. You know it's wisdom. And so all of these different folks, and I hope that I can sort of emulate that kind of wisdom in my own life, but I know that these folks that I've reflected on are that have shaped me in one way or another have displayed wisdom. As I go through the book of Proverbs and read all of these sayings and statements, there's some consistency in what I read there and then what I see in the lives of these people that I would consider dear friends and even mentors of mine. So again, a kind of a guiding question is, why is reading the Proverbs so very important? Let's talk about authorship first, though, before we get to thinking about that question. So in verse 1, of chapter 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." So we understand that these are the Proverbs, the saying, the pithy statements of Solomon. But you go over to chapter 30 and verse 1, the beginning of verse 1 in chapter 30, and it says, "These are the sayings of Agur, son of Jakah, an inspired utterance." So apparently, this fellow named Agur shared some of the proverbs that are written down in this book. I tried to do some research on Agur. Very, very little is known about this person, but he wrote part of Scripture. That's pretty cool. And then skip over a chapter to 31 in verse 1, and it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him." So you have this name Lemuel, and that literally means belonging to El, or belonging to God. So Lemuel, belonging to El, or to God. Nothing, that name isn't mentioned any other place in Scripture. Some commentators believe that this guy, Lemuel, was Solomon, just referred to with a different name. So not much is known about these other folks that are mentioned as sort of authors, writers of the Book of Solomon. Most scholars believe that certainly the majority of the book was written by Solomon himself, perhaps over years and years and years. And this was documented, of course, by Solomon's pen himself, or others were writing down what this very wise man was saying, and then they were compiled into a book as we have it today. Where did Solomon come up with this stuff? You know, that's a pretty fair question, I think, right? Was he just eating a lot of Chinese restaurants and find fortune cookies and then write that stuff down? Probably a lot of it came through his own. That was supposed to be funny, and it wasn't at all, apparently. Probably personal reflection came into play there. There's also, it's been noted that a lot of what is read in the book of Proverbs was sort of folk knowledge of the day. Some of it found within the Jewish tradition, but some of it found outside. And perhaps as Solomon reflected on life in the world, he took some of that, maybe massaged some of it to be consistent with his faith, or other things. He said, these are principles that are found in a relationship with God. They're consistent with faith. They're consistent what he understood about God and living in relationship with God. So he compiled it into the book of Proverbs. And then obviously we're going to find a lot of it is traditional Jewish teaching, understanding of God and life and peace and hope, all of those things that we'd say are found within traditional Jewish teaching or Torah observance, we might say. A lot of that is found within this book of Proverbs as well. So that's a little bit of background information. As we go through the book of Proverbs, we'll be mentioning other info that we could maybe consider to be background info, but that's enough for today. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Again, the question that I've put out there is, why is it important to read this book? So chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple. That idea of simple is sort of dull. Not quick to understand. Knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, for sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For a moment, I just want us to look at verse 5 again there. It says there, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. I want us to point out that word listen there, this idea of hearing what is being taught. That is so very crucial that we have ears to hear. What so often happens is we close up our ears so that we don't are unable to learn something else, to take on new information. And so it starts off chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 by saying, listen to what is being taught, what is being stated. What we see here in this passage, we see a few different things. You know, why read the Proverbs? Well, simply to gain wisdom so that we can act in a prudent manner. And what we see right here in 1 through 7, is so we can do what is right, just, and fair. Wisdom is at the foundation of living a life that is characterized by being right, just, and fair. The Proverbs are sayings, they're pithy statements, poems, sort of solemn declarations that when a person listens, person hears them, what they are taking in shapes their behavior so that they are living a life that's in accordance with God's way and God's will. That's the hope with all of this. And verse 7, it all begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Begins with fear. In this case, with fear, I think what Solomon is getting after here is this sense of humbling oneself to God, submitting to his ways, to his teaching, to his call in one's life, and then seeking to have a life that is patterned after his. I'm going to say that again. It is to humble oneself to God. So the fear of the Lord we're talking about. Submitting to God's ways, saying, your ways are better than my ways, and then patterning one's life after him. So I was going to kind of continue this idea of a foundation for wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. That's a passage that we probably all know well. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. We kind of keep this idea going. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight or direct your paths, some versions say. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So this is the starting place, if you will. Got in verse 5, trust in the Lord. It's like making some sort of statement, a personal declaration. I will believe in him and listen to him. In the second part of verse 5, I will lean not on my own understanding. In other words, I will value his wisdom more than my own wisdom. In verse 6, in all your ways submit to him. In other words, I will humble myself before him. And in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, I will seek to be wise in God's eyes only. When you strive to be wise in your own eyes, we have a way of very easily and readily deceiving ourselves, thinking we're doing okay, life is pretty good, we're doing the best so we know to do, right? We even have sayings like that. But what we read here is that we are to be wise in the eyes of the Lord. And so I think that starts with asking God, I desire to have the wisdom that you can bestow in my life. Please give me that kind of wisdom. I don't care about being wise in my own eyes. I desire to be wise in your eyes, in your eyes alone. Let's kind of continue this idea in chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. What I want us to notice here is the action terms. If you're into underlining or highlighting, each time you see like a verb, something that we're to do, make note of that. 2, 1 through 8. Let's start with 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge. You see that? Accept, store up, turn your ears, apply your heart, call out, cry aloud. Do you get it? There's something that we do in this endeavor for wisdom. There's action that we are supposed to do, this desire within our heart. But it doesn't stop there. If we keep going, we see God will be doing something as well. Verse 6, for the Lord bestows wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. So we are acting, accepting and storing up and turning our ears, and God is acting as well, giving, speaking, shielding, guarding, protecting. We're doing our part, and God is doing his part as well. And we see in verses 7 and 8 sort of this, I don't know the right term for this, I was kind of wrestling with it, but I'm going to go with like the benefit of wisdom. The benefit of wisdom here, at least in verses 7 through 8. One will experience success. I don't think that necessarily means success in the sense of trophies or large homes or fast cars. I don't think that's what Solomon is getting after. Although, what do you have, 1,000 or 700? Maybe he was thinking that. I don't know, knowing about his woman situation. But I think the success in this way can be defined as living rightly, enjoying healthy relationships, having speech that encourages and benefits others, as opposed to having speech that discourages others. So you got that benefit, right? Experiencing the success. And then the second part is one experiences the protection of God. So in this passage, God is compared to a guard and sort of like a warrior. It's kind of a picture that you get. God is a warrior who protects the righteous and faithful. So I got this image in mind, and this may not be right, but this is kind of what I saw in this idea of God's protection. I saw God playing two different roles. On the one hand, this idea of some folks crossing a street on a very heavily traveled road, and you have a policeman that's standing in the streets, and he is directing traffic. Right? Think about maybe after a sporting event. A policeman's there and he's directing traffic. He's telling the cars that are coming one direction to stop, and then he's waving on the folks that want to cross the street. And so in one way, as I think about this protection that God offers his people as they seek wisdom, I get this idea of someone directing traffic saying stop. I think God kind of works in that way. And cars coming in, protecting would be the opposition, false teaching, things like that. But I also got this image of God acting more like a parent who is helping their small child cross the street. You may still have a policeman that's directing the traffic, telling the traffic coming from a certain direction to stop, but you have like a parent that is actually holding their child's hand as they cross the street. And just like a parent, God guides his child in a protective manner, in a way that he understands will be good and healthy for the child. So when I think of God's protection, I can kind of get both images in mind, stopping the opposition from coming, but also guiding those who are seeking to follow his path. And so, for those who are upright, just what we see here in Proverbs chapter 2, God chooses in grace and mercy to protect those who desire to live in accordance with his will. It's so important that we remember that God chooses to do this. He doesn't have to do this. You think about all humankind being broken and sinful. It's out of God's grace and mercy that he decides to protect his people, to even give him his word and give him his teaching. And so why read the Proverbs? Because through it we gain wisdom or insight or understanding. And in so doing, we find that it's a benefit to our relationships. That's what we talked about with that study of James, that wisdom is sort of the unsung hero of relationships. So we interact with our spouses, as we interact with our friends, so we interact with our children. A question that we should continually be asking ourselves is the way that I'm relating to those who are closest to me wise? Am I choosing wisely in my relationships with others. And as we'll see in coming weeks, it gives us a proper perspective on wealth and work. Am I handling my possessions in a way that demonstrates wisdom? And then as far as our speech, it has the ability to shape our speech. Am I choosing to use my tongue in a wise way? I want to close with this, 1 Kings chapter 3. So we're talking about the wisdom of Solomon here in the book of Proverbs. And so we have to look at this event, this moment when Solomon received all of this wisdom that has benefited us as he shared it in the book of Proverbs. And so 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm going to read this and then we'll be done for the evening. This is going to be, it's starting in verse 4. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want to give me, to want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there have never been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. So if God came to you in this moment, let's say just came in some sort of vision right now, and he said, "Ask for whatever you wish," what would you ask God for? Would you ask God for wisdom? I would hope that I would. That seems like a pretty wise thing to ask for. But I love what is said here in the text. You're going to be incredibly wise, the wisest of all time. There will never be one as wise as you. Now, here's the cool thing. So in the book of Proverbs, we have the words of the wisest person of all time. So why do we study the book of Proverbs? If I'm hanging on every word that my mentor Charlie says, and he's just sort of kind of wise, when Solomon speaks, I want to hear what he has to say. I want to have ears to listen to the word of God offered to us through Solomon. So I'm looking forward to the next 4 weeks. A little challenge for you, and I'll be done. So there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I would encourage you, perhaps even today or tomorrow, to think about reading a chapter every day, the book. If you do that, that's 1 month, right? At least for the month, so there's 31 days. Maybe today or tomorrow, start reading one chapter a day. I believe that will be a great benefit to you. Bob's going to lead us in another song. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of our church family or is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue to worship our God.